Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive.
Okay, first topic. Climate change fueling flash flood summer. Quite a headline.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty stark. We're talking over 3,100 flash flood warnings across the U.S. by mid-July this year. This is almost double last year, and apparently a record going back to 1986.
Right, and these aren't just minor floods. We're seeing what they call the thousand-year flood events popping up in Texas, New Mexico, even New York City.
And the link scientists are making is to climate change.
Exactly. The basic idea is a warmer atmosphere holds more moisture. More moisture means, well, more intense storms when they do hit. Plus, there's this thing called atmospheric resonance amplifying it, kind of like weather patterns getting stuck in place for longer.
It feels like these extreme events are becoming, well, less extreme and more frequent.
That's the worrying part. It really forces us to think about local impacts. It's a good discussion point, you know? How do these global climate shifts actually affect your local area?
Or even how human activity plays into these environmental patterns.
Definitely.
Okay, let's shift gears from the environment to economics, specifically sales tax-free school shopping days. Lots of states do this, right? These tax holidays for back-to-school stuff. Families love them, retailers too.
They're certainly popular, politically speaking, but critics argue they're actually, quote, poor policy.
Why is that?
Well, the arguments are that they aren't targeted very well. They benefit everyone, not just those who need help most. Plus, the overall economic boost is minimal, and sometimes, you know, retailers might just raise prices slightly, canceling out the savings.
Okay. And it doesn't really fix bigger issues with tax systems being unfair.
Precisely. It's seen as more of a gimmick than real tax reform. Some states have even ditched these holidays now.
It's interesting that tension between what's popular and what's maybe sound economic policy.
It really is. A good angle for discussion could be that balance or just how government decisions, even small ones like this, ripple out to affect families and businesses.
All right, next up, a story that sounds almost like fiction. Fate, wallet, and owner converge at Irish Garda Station. So a man named Mohammed Yasir loses his wallet way out at Keene Beach in Ireland, like 93 miles from his home in Galway. 2 days later, he goes to the local police station, the Garda Station, to get a new driver's license.
And then what? Don't leave us hanging?
Right. At the exact same moment he's there, a woman named Olwyn Whelan walks in. She'd found his wallet on the beach 2 days before and was there to hand it in.
No way. Yeah. That's incredible. Just pure coincidence.
Exactly. Imagine his surprise and hers.
It's just a lovely reminder of, well, chance, I suppose. But also basic honesty, isn't it?
Absolutely. That small act of finding the wallet and taking the time to return it.
Yeah, it speaks volumes about community and just doing the right thing. Great discussion points there, the role of chance or just simple integrity.
Now for our quote of the day, this one's from Maria Mitchell. We especially need imagination in science. It is not all mathematics nor all logic, but it is somewhat beauty and poetry.
Oh, I like that. Who was Maria Mitchell?
She was an American astronomer and educator back in the 1800s. Really a pioneer. She was the first American woman to discover a new comet back in 1847. She even got a gold medal from the King of Denmark for it.
Wow. Impressive.
And she became the first female professor of astronomy at Vassar College, always pushing for women's education and equality.
That quote really captures something important, doesn't it? That science isn't just dry facts and figures.
Exactly. It needs creativity, imagination, seeing things in new ways.
It's a fantastic starting point to talk about how creativity fuels science, or maybe to explore the stories of other pioneering women in history.
Okay, let's talk about something many people might be trying tonight. Sleep scientists exploring the benefits of pink, brown, green noise. We all know about white noise, right? It's been around for ages as a sleep aid.
Sure, like static or a fan.
Right. But now scientists are looking into these other colored noises, pink, brown, green, that have gotten really popular online.
Okay, so what's the difference? Pink noise, brown noise.
So pink noise is like constant wind or rain, with the higher frequencies a bit softer. Green noise is more mid-range, like a waterfall. And brown noise is deeper, like distant thunder, lowest pitch.
Interesting. So the idea is these different sound profiles might be better for relaxation.
Kind of. They have different frequency patterns, maybe closer to our natural brain waves. The internet sort of figured this out first, and now science is catching up.
It's fascinating how online trends sometimes lead the way. It's a great opportunity to discuss the actual science of sound and relaxation. How do these things actually affect our brains?
And finally, a story about scale. tiny South Dakota town hosts one of the world's largest biker festivals. We're talking about Sturgis, South Dakota,
yeah.
Population, just 7,000 people.
Okay, tiny indeed.
But every August, it hosts the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and the town swells to maybe 100 times its size. Hundreds of thousands of bikers descend.
Wow, that must completely transform the place.
Totally. It started way back in 1938, founded by Clarence Pappy Hull.
Hmm.
And the economic impact is huge. They estimate it pumps $800 million into the state.
$800 million? That's massive for a small state.
Yeah, bikers come for races, rides through the Black Hills, stunt shows, concerts, the whole experience.
It's a really vivid example of how these large community events gain cultural significance, isn't it?
Definitely. And the sheer economic power of tourism, especially for smaller towns, it could spark talks about local traditions or events in your own communities and their effects. So, wrapping up, we hope this quick deep dive gives you a clear sense of the very topic students are digging into with the Juice.
Yeah, understanding what they're learning about can really open the door for some great conversations.
Absolutely. Maybe see where their curiosity leads. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.
Thanks for listening to this overview of the Juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.